You're listening to Ground Out Radio on Apollo Grounds Radio Network. Now, here are your hosts, Jeff Swenson and Dave Meyer.
Greetings from Parkway Pizza in Roseville, Minnesota. This is Swen.
I'm Dave, and we're here for Ground Out Radio. Ground Out Radio number
104. Russ, say hey.
Hey.
Yeah, believe it or not, this is going to surprise everybody, but Russ is in the bathroom again. So let's talk about the pizza while Russ is away here.
Pizza, I liked the pizza. It had a good sauce, which I like. I'm a sauce guy. I would rate it a 3.5.
And I'm going to keep it right at 3 here. So we're pretty much in agreement, as we usually are. A little too much meat for me. The sausage balls were about the size, not golf ball size, but getting pretty close to it. And that's just maybe a little more than I need.
Yeah, it was larger. The sausages were larger. Yeah. I would have liked a little bit. Maybe cut in half would have been perfect.
Half would have been good. Yeah. So, but overall, yeah, glad that we made it here. So, Swen, you were about to say something about what week it is.
The week is draft week.
That's it.
We love the draft.
We do. And this year's draft is going to be filled with surprises, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Only because I only know probably the first two guys, and I don't even know that for sure, but I think I know the first two guys.
Probably good money would be on these two guys.
Yep. So after that, everything is open for negotiation. So
I think, Dave, this draft, there's a lot of potential. There's not a lot of immediate help. There's some. But I think it's a draft with a lot of potential. So that's why it's so hard to figure out who might be the top. You know, we probably know the top two, most likely.
Who we will get into in a second.
Yeah. But picks 3 through 10 or beyond, it's just anyone's guess.
Even looking beyond that, this draft is ripe for, I bet we'll look back at this draft in, say, 5 years, and there's going to be some absolute steals in round 3, 4, 5. Yeah. Guys that really panned out that aren't that good today.
Mm-hmm.
And then some guys, you know, there's always guys that don't quite pan out.
Right.
And I bet there'll be a fair amount of those guys, too. So do you feel lucky here this round or for this upcoming round here?
For the first round?
Yep.
You know, I've got the 9th pick. There's some guys I'm looking at, but like we just said, it's just who knows?
Yeah.
You know, just have a list of 6 or 7 guys.
Okay, so you're picking 9. When you have a slotted pick like that, you make your list of 9, and it's just like, I'm going to take them in this order. You know, if my number one's available, that's who I'm taking. Or do you have a realistic idea on really who you think you're going to take?
Russ is bowing out. He's going bowling tonight. So
yeah, Russ joined us for pizza, but is now quietly excusing himself from the provinces.
Bowling. Well, you guys have it easy, and I'll see the rest of you down in Arizona.
Well, Friday night we'll be on Zoom.
Zoom.
We'll see you there.
That's right, Zoom. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, Russ.
Hey,
good luck bowling,
guys.
Okay. So you're asking me about my pick at 9.
Yeah, how do you strategize?
I mean, I'll have a list of probably 10.
Okay.
And then, I think, okay, who's ever there.
Yeah.
But then I'm bummed because the guy I really want is not there. So then I'm like, okay, what do I do now?
I've seen that happen before where, like, mid-draft I start to kind of change my mind thinking, oh, would it be possible that this guy I didn't even put him on my radar because I knew he'd be gone.
Yeah, right.
And it gets to like 2 or 3 picks away. It's like, oh, well, maybe, just maybe. And then they always get sniped right in front of
you. Sparky's picking behind, in front of you,
yeah,
and it takes the guy you want.
It's always Sparky. Doggone it, Sparky.
Doggone Spark. At least you're drafting after me this year.
Still before me, though. So Spark will wreck my draft this year.
Okay, that's
and
good.
I think I got Boomer right in front of me, too. I think Boomer might be just specifically plotting on, if not to take the guy he wants, to at least take the guy that I want.
Yeah, Boomer's right in front of you.
So we shall see. Well, we talked about the two, and I'm putting air quotes around this, two obvious first-round picks, or first two picks overall. Let's reveal them.
Okay.
Because nobody else knows about this but us.
We'll talk about these two guys, the first one being Roman Anthony.
And everybody loves him, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And
he's the whole package, right? He runs, hits, throws, hits with power, and he's got speed, right?
Runs, hits, throws.
He's a right fielder. What kind of D rating does he have?
I think he's a 4. I can look that up here real quick.
That's a little wart because, it's not a great starting spot.
No, Roman Anthony is a... he's a 3 in both left and right.
Okay, so that's serviceable.
Yeah, a little better.
Very serviceable.
Yeah. And then Bob Kurtz is our...
Nick. Wait,
he's a former Wild announcer.
Yes.
Wild hockey team announcer.
Yes, different guy.
Oh, but Kurtz, we're thinking top two guys probably, but who knows in what order.
Yeah, that's the question. And you know what? We don't have any inside intel or anything. We have no secrets to reveal, so if we happen to sound like we just told the whole world the guy that you wanted, it is dumb luck because
we have no idea.
Not really talked specifics with anybody. We have no inside information. This is speculation.
This is really the first day that you and I have talked about
it. Really is
the
draft since the end of the season. Maybe a little bit with Russ, and I spoke with Boomer a little bit ago, but I honestly don't have anything to reveal with anything that Boomer said. So I don't know what's going to happen, you know, really, assuming those are the 1-2, starting with Jeremy's pick in the third pick overall, that's when all the question marks happen.
I have no idea at this point.
Do you want to talk about, the next 6, 8, 10 guys? And then I've got an exercise. I want to talk about all the catchers in the draft.
Okay.
That's where I was going to go next,
but we can wait on that.
Okay, yeah, let's kind of do just a quick run through on maybe the logical top 10.
Okay, well.
And then let's talk about catchers, because there's a lot of them this year.
We'll leave the catchers out for now. I mean, some of the guys we'll talk about could very definitely be in the top 10.
Yeah, they'll sneak in there for sure.
Yeah, but so then if you go to first base, we said Nick Kurtz, but after that, I don't see anyone.
Pretty slim pickings
first round anyways.
Right.
And then second base, I think this is the strongest draft we've had at second base in quite a while.
See, it's funny because right before we went on, we were talking about a few of these points, and you kind of mentioned that thought, and that kind of made me scratch my head a little because I kind of need second base, but it's not a primary need.
And well, again, I think this is... potential.
Filled
with
potential.
A lot of potential
at
second base.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
I'm just going to list some names, and maybe you know something about them, maybe you don't. But Cole Young from Seattle.
Okay.
In last year's rookie book, he was Seattle's number 2 overall prospect.
Okay.
He hits well, fields a little bit above average. His power is below average. You know, this is based on the prospect handbook. And then another guy.
And he's got the job in Seattle, too, right?
So looks like it, yes.
He's pretty.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, according to FanGraphs.
Okay.
But,
obviously, so much of this is subject to change. And by May 1st, a lot of this will change. So, but as of now, Cole Young seems like a solid prospect.
And then another number 2 prospect for the Angels is Christian Moore. And he's an average hit, a power 60. His field and his arm are below average.
Okay.
So, but I think, again, he's got penciled in as a starting second baseman for the Angels.
You know, how much does arm matter at a second base position? And does it matter at all when it comes to strat? I don't know the answer to that either.
I don't know. And then another guy who's also number 2 for Boston, Christian Campbell. He is a hit and power at 60. Running, he's above average, and field and Army's average. So, you know, if someone looks for second baseman, you'd be a good pick.
Okay.
And then a number three prospect for the Twins is Luke Keyshaw, who hits well above for 60 for hitting. His fielding and power and run are all about average or a little bit above average. His arm is listed as a 40, where 50 being the average. So, but okay. Second base, you know, might not matter that much.
Of the guys you've mentioned so far, Keyshaw's the one that I could see being a first rounder. His card is immediately usable this year. But I see him as, you know, definitely late first rounder, maybe. Cole Young, I'm a little less certain about. And the two, there's something about Angels that
I know that scares
as I see him,
me
it's
a little
just sort
bit.
Of like that's a great place where careers go to die. But as a mark against Keyshaw, it's not like the Minnesota Twins have been a place where players blossom either.
Well, there's also some talk that he might be an outfielder.
I did hear he was definitely looked at as an outfielder.
That's why it's so difficult to pick anything. So
sure.
if you drafted someone because, oh, I need a second baseman, they might wind up in the outfield. They might wind up at third.
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about the guy from Boston?
Yeah, Christian Campbell.
Christian Campbell. Last year he started off like crazy. Mm-hmm. He was great. Still a top prospect, but he's being looked at now as an outfielder.
Yeah.
So, there's no such sure thing when it comes to, like, positional security.
Right.
Especially it seems like second baseman. Because aren't all second basemen failed shortstops? That's why they're there.
Pretty much.
So, at some point, every second baseman has already been shifted once.
Yeah.
Away from shortstops. In fact, you know, when you look at the MLB draft, isn't every first rounder either a pitcher or a shortstop?
Yeah.
They're all shortstops,
either they wind
right?
up at, stay yeah. at short, or they wind up at center field.
Or
they
go to third base or something
base
like that.
Or second
yeah.
base.
They're all shortstops
yep.
to start off with.
Yeah.
Do you have any more second basemen?
Yeah, there's from Chicago, Chase Meadroff.
Oh, okay, sure.
He's listed as their number eighth prospect in last year's book. He's a 60, power's a 40, so you know, well below average. And then run, field, and arm is below average. So
maybe not first round material.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who
yeah.
knows? Then for Houston, Shea Whitcomb. He's listed as number seven, and he's average or above in everything but fielding. He's a little below average.
Okay.
So, and then
is he now considered like the heir apparent to Altuve at second?
No, because I think I was just reading something recently that Altuve was a failed outfield experiment.
Right, I know he's
back
moving
to
back
second.
To second,
yeah.
But he's also 36?
Yeah, 36, 37 yeah. probably. So he could be. And then my favorite name at second baseman from the Yankees is Jorbit Vivas.
Jorbit Vivas.
I love the name Jorbit. I mean, how right. can you go wrong with that?
Do you need to know anything else about him, or is that
not really?
Is he first round material with a name like that?
Maybe if you add a zero to it.
Okay, so lightning rounder.
Lightning rounder.
Okay,
maybe. Then third base is pretty weak. Well, it's really weak this year.
Okay, off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody.
The only one really is Ben Williamson.
Okay.
From Seattle, and he's a one.
But he's
third,
kind of a
but
he's, big hit, no bat kind
yeah,
of guy.
Yeah, but it kind of sounds like he might. I read something just the other day that great defensively, but he's going to be.
Do you remember? This guy reminds me of another Seattle Mariner from 4 or 5 years back. On the other side, first baseman. Remember Evan White?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was a one right off the bat.
Yeah.
Couldn't hit a lick.
Yeah.
And he was out of baseball 3 years later. Or you still see him like, you still see him like, oh, hey, the Miami Marlins just signed him to a minor league deal with an invitation to spring training. Hey, Evan White's back. You know. So I don't know. Is that what's in Ben Williamson's? Ben?
So that,
is it Ben Williamson?
Ben Williamson.
Yeah, Ben Williamson. Yeah. Is that his future?
It could very well be. I mean, he's listed as field and arm, as, you know, well above average, but everything else is pretty much below.
Hey, could I mention one thing? Go back to first base here real quick. I know that as of today, he's considered a catcher, but what about Sam Basayo as a first baseman? Because it seems like that's the direction that the Orioles are pointing him towards.
That's what it sounds like.
So do you if you're interested in somebody like him as a possible first rounder, do you say, oh, I really need him as a catcher? Do you still want him then? Because more than likely he will end up at first base, or who knows, maybe somewhere else.
DH.
But he's a switch hitter, so he's going to be handy, and he's supposed to be a masher.
Yeah.
But do you take him as a catcher? I mean, do you put all your catching eggs in that basket when he really probably will be a first baseman?
Yeah, first baseman, DH even.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. He's another one that, you know, based on, you know, the raw power, the arm, do you take a chance on him really early? I don't know. If he
hits the way that they say he will, he'd probably still be worth it, even if he's not. Again, his position's not settled, so if you just want the bat, go for it. But if you need a catcher, you're kind of playing with fire a little bit with him.
Albert Pujols, when he first came up, his position was undetermined.
Yeah. And, you know, well, he was a left fielder and third baseman, I remember.
Yeah, eventually, you know, became a very solid first baseman. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about him. Where he might go.
That's why I just thought, as a first baseman, he deserves to be in that conversation that we already went through.
He could go 3-7, and he could go 8-18.
Yeah, if you really really need a catcher, maybe he's not the guy. But if you really really just need a bat, don't worry about his position.
Yeah, right? Just plug him in. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the infield.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? We just brought up Basayo, and we're done with the infield. Let's talk about the catchers.
Okay. Well, again, this is a very, very solid draft for catchers.
Very good.
Basayo, who we just talked about, Kyle Teal from Chicago, looks to be their main starter. He's solid everywhere.
And he's immediately usable, too.
Yes, he is.
A lot of these guys are not. But I think the top five, six catchers all can kind of be dropped in for at least usability right off the bat, which is pretty rare, especially for that position. I don't remember in recent memory having this much catching available.
No, not like this.
Yeah, it's a lot.
No, Kyle Teal, and then you got Edgar Quiro, also from Chicago, who actually had more at-bats last year than Teal did, about 100.
Okay, do you know what their defense is like, both of them?
Teal is a 3 at catcher, and Quiro is a 4.
Okay.
But this might be a mistake on my part, but I got Kyle Teal rated as a 5 at shortstop. That can't be right. It's got to be outfield, and I missed the right column, I'm sure.
If you need an outfielder, Kyle Teal might not be your guy.
Or a shortstop.
But maybe he is. Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm not telling anybody how to build their team. I don't know.
Then you got Carter Jensen from Kansas City.
Who is kind of like one of those guys that's kind of crept up in value, it seems like.
Yeah, it has,
I don't follow NFL, as we've talked about here many times, but still, like, during draft week of NFL, you hear all these guys, like, that are keep rising up, you know, just like, oh, now people are trying to trade up to get this guy who was projected to be much later in the draft.
Well,
I feel like Carter Jensen's that guy.
He's come up. I mean, his power's at 60.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't argue with that.
Yeah.
You know, probably heir apparent to
DeSalvi.
DeSalvi, yeah.
And now he only had, I think, 60 at bats, but they were really good.
Jensen, yeah, 60 at bats.
Yeah, limited amount of immediate help.
But
excellent prospects for him.
He'll
for
be
sure.
playing at his age 22 year.
I would think, I mean, I haven't read a lot on him, but assume that he would catch a third of the time, maybe DH a third of the time. I don't know, does he play first base or anything else?
Last year, had him rated at a 4 at catcher. But, you know, maybe this year that could change. Get his bat in the lineup.
Okay.
And then, let's see, who else am I looking at here? Catcher. Nervais.
And from Boston.
Yeah,
right?
Carlos Nervais. I mean, he had 403 at bats, 27 doubles, 15 homers.
And locked into the starting position without any competition that I know of.
Yeah.
So if you're really looking for a guy that you can plug and play, he's probably the lowest upside, but he's the most sure thing, I think.
Well, defensively, his field and his arm are average or a little above average. The hit power and run well below average.
He's a catcher,
but
so
a
whatever.
Catcher.
Whatever.
I mean, 15 home runs, you can't balk at that too much.
Yeah.
Other catchers? Well, those are pretty much the top ones.
Yeah, I mean, I would suspect all those guys will go in the first couple of rounds for sure.
At least.
Some of them definitely will be first rounders.
Yeah.
So, very, very strong catching class.
Yeah, strongest that we've had in quite a while.
Yeah, strongest I can remember recently, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's kind of catching plus infield. What do we got in the outfield that is worth mentioning?
I think the outfield this year, when I look at it, is one of the weaker drafts we've had outfield-wise.
I'm glad you said that, because it's like I could use another outfielder, but there's just like not a lot to pick from there.
There's from Kansas City, and I've got Caglione. I don't know how you pronounce it.
Castiglione.
Okay.
Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Caglione.
But again, he's no immediate help, but I think he projects well.
Yeah.
There's a kind of all speed, no power hitter from Tampa that Simpson, is that Samson? Simpson, help me with that. Tampa Bay, Rays. High batting average and really not much else. It's Luis Arraez with a little bit of speed.
I mean, the guys that I've got, Dylan Beavers from Baltimore, I think they're pretty high on
that's
him.
A good one. Yep, good call.
Yep. Clark from the Athletics.
Okay.
He's a one center.
Yep, excellent defender.
Limited at-bats.
Yep.
Roman Anthony.
Going back to Clark, how many at-bats was he? Was he in the 100s or was he more than that?
148.
Yeah, so the one in center is always going to be nice. Not sure if he's, you know, what kind of hitter he's going to be, what he projects out to be, but definitely a useful piece. Worth a one, depends on your team.
Well, he's a hit. He's below average, well below average. Power, above average. His run is way above average. I mean, if you saw any highlights of him in the outfield last year.
I think
year,
I did, yeah. Yep, he's definitely a
speedster, big time.
Probably fun to watch.
Yeah. Roman Anthony, who we have mentioned.
Yeah,
I
kind of talked about him already.
Smith from Houston. I have his first name.
Yeah,
right
Cam
here.
Smith.
Cam Smith.
Yep.
Let's see. I can pull him up here quick.
I think he's a two in right
field.
Two in
right field, yep. Yeah. And 441 at bats. 400, yeah.
Not super impressive offensive numbers.
No.
How's his pathway to playing?
That I don't know offhand. I mean, he's young again. He's age 22 this year. So.
I mean, yeah, there's probably some opportunity for him, especially with Altuve moving out
of the outfield.
So, yeah, maybe a spot opens up for him.
Another Houston is Melton.
Yeah, Troy Melton, okay.
Limited at bats. He only had 70 at bats. And three in all three outfield positions.
Yeah, that's another one that doesn't strike me as first-round material unless there's something I don't know about him. But it kind of just depends on, you know, I haven't looked at all these guys' platoons yet. So you could find somebody that, like, doesn't necessarily on the surface look all that great, but you can find, like, that one thing they do really well, and then they can plug right into anybody's team, you know, if the platoon falls just right or, if he has that one skill. So maybe some of these guys are those guys. So anything else left in outfield?
Well, Alejandro Osuna from Texas.
Okay.
Just 151 at-bats. But he is he's average everywhere.
Okay.
Nothing real special.
You know, from the guys that we've talked about here mostly, do you sense a real lack of NL veterans moving into this draft? Because it feels like we've talked about pretty much all pretty pure rookies.
Yeah. No, there's not.
That's pretty unusual. Because don't we normally have a handful of guys, NL players moving over the AL, veterans that are, 30 years old or whatever.
Right.
So,
of that at all.
Yeah, it's really, really unusual, I think. We just don't have those plug-and-play type guys.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the potential of a lot of these guys, and I think there's going to be room for some great, great bargains, in the later rounds that a few years from now we're going to look at and we're going to think, why did we all pass on this guy until the fourth round or whatever.
Yeah.
So I could see that happening for sure.
Yeah.
You want to talk about pitching, or is there any more hitters left?
Not really on the hitters. I don't. I'm sure. Like we talked before we went online or went live, that you've got your list of guys, and that someone else drafting takes someone that you've never even looked at. Who's that?
Oh, I know, and that does happen to me all the time. And I'm like, what am I missing?
Yeah,
I forgot something.
What did I miss? What do they know that I don't?
Yeah,
but I'm sure some of that will happen again. It always does. Pitchers, I think this is a really weak draft for immediate help for pitching
and innings too.
And innings,
Well, part of that is because they're all rookies again, right?
Yeah.
And rookies tend to get babied more than others.
Yeah.
A lot of times they don't crack the rotation until July.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just, anybody with over 100 innings is, that's pretty rare in this draft. So there's no nobody to anchor your staff for this draft.
Like you said, usually there's a pitcher, maybe two, that are traded over. And,
just nothing like that this
170,
year.
170, 200 innings.
Yeah, definitely a big gap.
Yeah, so I think, again, there's a lot of potential here, but not a lot of immediate help.
Who's your top handful of starters?
Well, you got to look at Shane Smith from Chicago. He's got the most innings with the best numbers.
Okay.
You've got, an older guy, Sagano from Baltimore, 11 more innings.
He was terrible, though, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to plant the seeds in people's heads here.
Yeah. Swen sees Sagano as a high number one. Maybe the eighth pick, right before
me.
Yeah.
There's Mike Vassell from Chicago.
And he was a starter reliever.
But he pitched in 47 games, only had 3 game starts. But 101 innings.
So those 3 game starts, he might be a starter too then or something.
Yeah.
I know when I get ready to draft a guy, I will look and see, was he just a 2-inning starter,
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll be able to have the complete ratings available, right? Aren't those on StratDraft.com now so we can see?
Oh, I haven't even looked.
You haven't even looked at StratDraft? Okay. I know Jeff Meyer loaded that up last week sometime.
Oh, it is loaded
now? So the draft site's ready to go.
Okay, I haven't looked at that.
And I think it says in there that it'll say starter 5.
Right.
Or 2, or whatever.
Yeah.
So that will be helpful information for a guy like Vassell.
Yeah.
Yeah, who else you got?
I got names, you know, some guys that were rated, you know, 2 through 7 or 10 in
Let me throw out a couple names.
Okay.
Cam Schlittler.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think on him?
You know, I've been more focused on everyday players. I haven't looked closely at pitchers. But, playing 25. His whip is not bad. And, you know, his
70-some innings.
Yeah, 73 innings. But
good whip. And he's entrenched in the Yankees rotation as of today.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's part of what you have to look at least for the high draft picks.
Yeah.
You know, what's their path moving forward?
Yeah. Jackson Jobe.
Interesting case, yeah. Super highly rated.
Was he going to be pitching at all this year or late?
I think he's going to be out pretty much all this year, too, yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, is he a, you know, stash him away type guy? He's not somebody probably that you would want to protect in a Rule 5. So do you want to spend a high pick on a guy like Jobe?
No, he's
getting nothing back from
him. He's going to drop quite a bit, I think.
Even though he's really highly rated?
Yeah, but like you said, you know, protect him on the Rule 5.
It depends on your team, but that'd be a tough proposition to protect a guy that, what, had 20 major league innings? And he's been out. He will have been out a year and a half at that point.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Hard to say.
I wouldn't mind picking him up as a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
I'm not going to touch him in the first round.
No. I don't know as far as pitchers in the first round. I mean, like I said, I haven't looked closely at it. Trey Yesavage.
Yeah, Yesavage probably is the one guy that is pretty deserving a lot of the hype that he got. We all saw him in the playoffs
October,
and he killed it. He looked great.
Yeah.
And speaking of guys that remind me of somebody else, I still have horrors of coming off the, you probably know what I'm going to say here, the 1996 World Series? Jarrett Wright. Love that guy. He looks so good in the World Series. Rookie. Uh-huh. I took him with my first rounder, and that was the last we heard of Jarrett Wright.
Flamed out.
One of my worst picks.
Yeah.
But Yesavage looks great. He's deserving of a high, you know, first half of the first round for sure, I would say.
Yeah, I would think so.
If you need innings, Noah Jackson from Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I think he's in the 140 range with a pretty usable whip. So I could see him squeezing into the first round there, too, if somebody needs solid mid to back end innings, which I might possibly.
Yeah, there's. I really can't speak to a lot of the pitchers because, like I said, I just haven't focused in on that too much at this point.
Glad to have you on the podcast here.
I do my best.
So, you know, we could probably go through all 200 names on this. We don't necessarily have to do that. But that's kind of, can you think off the top of your head real quick if we're missing, did we overlook anybody that's at least first or second round caliber? I'm sure we did. I'm sure there's a lot of guys that we didn't even touch on that.
They're probably thinking, they didn't say his name. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Should we just alphabetically read them all so that we at least mention everybody's name here?
Yeah.
No, this is one of the reasons why I think this might be a really interesting draft, because I don't know what's going to happen. You said you're sitting at number 9, and I'm sitting at number 13 and 18, and I've drawn out my ranked list just like you have, but I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the guy I've got third on my list is going to be there.
Yeah.
But and maybe the guy I've got 18th is going to go right off the bat.
Fifth.
Who knows?
Yeah. It's really hard. This one is really hard.
So you mentioned earlier that it's mostly guys with potential. So are you just not worrying about how they fit into your team for 2026? And you're just going to say, basically, our version of take the best available athlete?
Kind of.
Is that what you're going to do?
Well, after the first round, after my first round pick.
Okay.
That's kind of what I'm probably looking at.
I've done that strategy before, too, just take the best guy.
Yep.
There's other years where I've done that with my early picks. Like, I'm not going to worry about getting any help this year. I want to get the best career, basically.
Right.
And then once I get to my third, fourth, fifth, then I'm going to try and plug holes. I need I need 200 at-bats at third base, or I need a platoon outfielder. Then I'll backfill in the middle rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't worry about potential in the middle rounds. Now, this year might be totally different. I might go potential hunting in the mid rounds. I don't know what's going to happen in my first round.
I know.
You know, whatever happens with my first pick or two picks, that'll probably set the tone for what I do the rest of the time.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking, too. It's just whoever I get that first pick at number 9, that'll set the stage for how I draft after that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, just for kicks, again, no internal knowledge whatsoever. Tell me who you think the top 3 is going to be. We've got Berlin at number 1. We've got Homestead at number 2. We've got Vancouver at number 3. And again, we have not talked to anybody about these picks. We don't know nothing. So give me your guess. Give me your 1, 2, 3 in order.
Oh,
and then I'll
man.
Give you mine.
In order, wow. I'm just pulling up. Berlin at number 1. I'm going to say Kurtz.
Okay.
Homestead, number 2. I'm going to say Roman Anthony.
Okay. And then Vancouver.
Vancouver.
What's Jeremy going to do?
Montgomery,
okay.
What you got?
I wrote down 3 names, too. And for pick number 1, Berlin, I also picked Nick Kurtz. Now, he could throw us a curveball. I don't.
Yeah.
Pick number 2, Homestead, I also have Roman Anthony.
Okay.
Vancouver, pick number 3. I went off the board a little bit and said Sam Basayo.
I almost went Basayo.
Did you?
Okay. I almost did.
That to me just felt like that. That seems like the kind of guy that Jeremy's going to go after.
Yeah. I think because some of what I looked at was kind of like, you know, what someone needed. So I think Montgomery, the shortstop.
Yeah, and that'd be a good pick. That'd be a good pick. Hey, when I was talking with Boomer recently, we were talking also a little bit about all the catching in the draft. And he brought up an interesting point about early catching draftees. And something that I hadn't really thought about too much, just because I don't know that I've ever drafted a catcher in the first round. Maybe I have.
Joe Mauer.
Oh, is he a catcher? I only remember him as a first baseman.
They drafted him as a first baseman, but then he caught after that.
I did take Joe Mauer. What am I talking about? But, okay, we won't use him as the example that Mahalich talked about. But do you remember a can't-miss catching prospect who was going to be the best catcher ever named Matt Wieters?
Yep. I know. And there's been others, too.
And Matt Wieters, we actually looked it up. He had an okay career. He played like 11 years and made a few All-Star teams.
Yeah.
1 year he slugged 20 homers. So it wasn't a bad career, but it was just never like, really, that was my number one pick?
Round.
You know?
Yeah.
So that happens with catchers. And then he brought up an even better one, a guy who was taken number 1 overall. Can you think of a worse example than Matt Wieters? Rhymes with Gary Sanchez. Number 1 overall pick. And at the time, I thought it was a good pick. Gary Sanchez.
Gary
who? Gary
Sanchez. Yeah.
So and he just never quite got revved up. So every time you look at one of those catchers in the first round, do you see Joe Mauer or do you see Gary Sanchez?
Or Matt Wieters.
Wieters
is okay.
Wieters fought to a draw, although, again, for a super high number 1,
yeah,
might have disappointed a little. But then again, you know, we should have done this before, but I mean, look at all the number ones, especially the recent ones. You know, there's been a few, I would say, disappointments, you know, with the number one overalls. There's no such thing as a sure thing. We said it 100 times here. So beware, everybody, but draft with authority and confidence, but know that, yeah, nothing's going to work out for any of us.
Don't screw up.
Yeah. Looks like you're punching away. What do you got on your keyboard there?
I've got the master draft list from every year.
Oh.
You know, not what team took them, but let me see if I can find that here quick. I mean, we've kind of looked at this before. It's been a while, I think. But it's just some of the... Ooh, what happened there? Something went awry here. Well, maybe we'll have to do it another time. But
yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
That would require preparation, though, for the podcast.
Oh, no, here it is. I got it.
All right.
Okay. So, just this last draft, 2025, I mean, Jackson Holiday was number one, Matt Langford number two, which was a
Langford great, blossomed, yep. Yeah.
And then Ryan Pepia.
He's held his own, for
yep.
sure.
Jazz Chisholm.
Solid.
Kumar Rocker.
Still kind of waiting for him to
yep.
take the next step.
Colt Keith.
I don't know what he did.
Well, I was just reading again the other day just about him that, you know, he was their second baseman.
Right.
And now, because they signed from New York, I think it was his name.
Gleyber?
Yeah, Gleyber.
Right.
Yep. That he's going to be maybe playing a little third or first, or they don't know exactly yet. And then the seventh pick was Caden Dana, who I just picked up in the Rule 5 draft.
Did you?
I did.
Right.
And then Simeon Woods Richardson from the Twins.
Okay.
Spencer Arrighetti.
I don't think he did much. Didn't he get hurt?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
And then my pick in the first round was Jacob Wilson, which I'm very happy with.
You might have won that round.
I like that. This one, I have no idea. Jonathan Cannon.
Yeah, White Sox pitcher.
Okay.
Don't know what he did.
Yeah. David Festa, I think, was pretty decent, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's all right. I mean, I think his chapter is still to be written.
Yeah. Brooks Lee, or wait, Kobe Mayo, then 13, and then Brooks Lee.
Yeah.
Connor Norby, Cade Smith, Justin Slayton, and Will Warren.
So a lot of guys that haven't really, I mean, Wyatt Langford and your guy Wilson were probably the two best picks out of that draft.
Yeah.
You came out okay, Swan.
But if you go back to 2020, Vlad Guerrero, my pick, number one overall.
Turned out all right.
Fernando Tatis was number two.
He's good.
Bo Bichette, number three.
He's done well.
Mm-hmm. Pete Alonso, four.
That's a good draft.
Yeah. Eloy Jimenez kind of never lived
Whoops,
up to...
yeah, that one never...
Yeah.
Never. I mean, his first two or three years, he was really good, and then he face planted after that.
Gavin Lux was next.
Another guy that never, never went to the next level.
Jordan Alvarez.
He's a good player.
Yep. Chris Paddock never panned out. Probably a good pitcher, but he just always
didn't
hurt.
Quite happen. Yeah.
Jesus Luzardo.
Very good.
Ryan Reynolds.
Very good.
Keston Ayura.
He was another one that had, two or three good years.
Really good
and then
years.
Now he's another one that's an annual non-roster invitee.
Yeah,
I see his name still pop up. There. Yeah.
Mike Tauchman.
You know what? Tauchman is really interesting. He disappears for 2 years at a time, and then he comes back with a vengeance. Like, you know, he's still in the league, and he's got a .930 OPS.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's in our league now, though. Is he?
I don't know offhand.
I think he was released, and now he's a National Leaguer.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, weird career.
Okay, Will Smith was next then?
Very good pick, yep. This is a killer first round.
Dustin May, who would never... Another good pitcher, but just always hurt.
Yeah, always hurt, yep.
John Means.
Great, but always hurt.
Yep. Oscar Mercado.
Whoops, that one didn't work out.
No. Tommy Edman.
Still hanging around. And not a star, but he's very useful. Yeah. Good player.
And then to close out that round, Zach Gallen.
Excellent. That,
that was a
if every first round was like that, the draft would be even more fun. But they're not like that anymore.
No.
Well, how many NL vets are in that from 6 years ago now? How many NL vets did you count?
Any? Well, I don't even remember. Paddock, he was San Diego?
San Diego, yeah.
I think. Oh, he wasn't a vet, though, probably.
We were still drafting NL players at that time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because Dustin May.
Well, Tatis was a national leader.
Tatis, yeah. Yeah, you're right, we were.
So, yeah, that probably boosted the strength of the drafts quite a bit 6 years ago. We had a lot more National League influence than we do now.
Let me just run down a few from 2023. Julio Rodriguez.
Excellent.
Adley Rutschman.
Yep.
Justin Bieber. Oh, wait. Not Justin.
What is his first name? Now you got...
I can't remember.
What is Bieber's name? Shane.
Shane Bieber.
Shane Bieber.
Jose Ramirez.
Nice pick.
Garrett Cole.
Nice pick.
Stephen Kwan. George Kirby. Justin Verlander. Brandon Nimmo.
These are all excellent players.
Bobby Witt.
Excellent. At what, 9 or 10? Bobby Witt?
He was at 11.
If we start the draft over from scratch, empty rosters, he might be number one pick.
And then after him was Gunnar Henderson.
Gosh.
Riley Green.
Let's go back to that draft.
Starling Marte.
Okay.
Gabriel Moreno.
Oh, Gabby Moreno,
yeah. MJ Melendez.
Oh, that one didn't fire.
No, Marcus Semien.
Excellent.
And closing out that round was Vinny Pasquantino.
Who's very good.
That's another very solid first round draft.
Well, that's where this draft falls. Maybe it's 2 years from now. Our 2026 draft might look just like that.
2028, we'll think, man, I can't believe this. How good this first round was.
I know. Well, that's what we love about draft week and draft, really, after first of the year is like when I start to kind of dive in and do a little more research.
Yeah.
And honestly, I wasn't too fired up about the draft right away. But I think it tends to be like, now that I know more guys, there's more little things in there that I'm finding to like. So, and it's probably like that every year. So, we love draft week like no other. Christmas has come.
But in the 2019 draft, the sixth pick overall from the Branson Baldnobbers, Scott Kingery.
We all have a Scott. I have Jarrett Wright. You have Scott Kingery. Yeah, that's well, you know what? Maybe for one of these podcasts, we ought to, for each one of us, let's pick out Branson's worst blunder and Casper's worst blunder and Homestead, Kelowna, Brooklyn, Charleston, all of them.
Yeah.
Let's do everybody's worst blunder because we all got egg on our face some of the time.
some more than others, maybe.
It could be a very humbling experience.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that kind of wraps up our draft preview.
I mean, such as it is. And I know I had talked to Chuck a few weeks ago that maybe he and Ken were going to try and do something, but it never materialized. For all I know, they're recording as we speak,
they
too.
Could be.
So, you know, with any luck, maybe we'll have a back-to-back doubleheader.
That'd be cool.
Previews and see what those guys come with. I don't know.
Cool.
But anyway, this is 104 in... I'm Dave. He's Swen. And we're going to see you guys on Friday night on Zoom.
Good luck to everyone.
We love the draft.
Especially me.